The Valley of the Giants by Peter B. Kine. Chapter 1. In the summer of 1850, a topsail schooner slipped into the cove under Trinidad Head and dropped anchor at the edge of the kelp fields. 15 minutes later, her small boat deposited on the beach a man armed with long squirrel rifle and an axe, and carrying food and clothing in a brown canvas pack. From the beach he watched the boat return and saw the schooner weigh anchor and stand out to sea before the Northwest Trades. When she had disappeared from his ken, he swung his pack to his broad and powerful back and strode resolutely into the timber at the mouth of a little river. The man was John Cardigan. In that lonely, hostile land he was the first pioneer. This is the tale of Cardigan and Cardigan's son, for in his chosen land the pioneer leader in the gigantic task of hewing a path for civilization was to know the bliss of woman's love and of parenthood, and the sorrow that comes of the loss of a perfect mate. He was to know the tremendous joy of accomplishment and worldly success after infinite labor, and in the sunset of life he was to know the dull despair of failure and ruin. Because of these things there is a tale to be told, the tale of Cardigan's son, who, when his sire fell in the fray, took up the fight to save his heritage. A tale of life with its love and hate, its battle, victory, defeat, labor, joy, and sorrow. A tale of that unconquerable spirit of youth which spurred Bryce Cardigan to lead a forlorn hope for the sake not of wealth but of an ideal. Hark, then, to this tale of Cardigan's redwoods. Along the coast of California, through the secret valleys and over the tumbled foothills of the Coast Range, extends a belt of timber of an average width of 30 miles. In approaching it from the Oregon line, the first tree looms suddenly against the horizon, an outpost, as it were, of the host of giants whose column stretches south nearly 400 miles to where the last of the rear guard maintains eternal sentry go on the crest of the mountains overlooking Monterey Bay. Far in the interior of the state, beyond the fertile San Joaquin Valley, the allies of this vast army hold a small sector on the west slope of the Sierras. These are the redwood forests of California, the only trees of their kind in the world, and indigenous only to these two areas within the state. The coast timber is known botanically as Sequoia sempervirens, that in the interior as Sequoia gigantea. As the name indicates, the latter is the larger species of the two, although the fiber of the timber is coarser and the wood softer, and consequently less valuable commercially than the Sequoia sempervirens, which in Santa Cruz, San Mateo, Marin, and Sonoma counties has been almost wholly logged off because of its accessibility. In northern Mendocino, Humboldt, and Del Norte counties, however, 60 years of logging seems scarcely to have left a scar upon this vast body of timber. Notwithstanding 60 years of attrition, there remain in this section of the redwood belt thousands upon thousands of acres of virgin timber that had already attained a vigorous growth when Christ was crucified. In their vast, somber recesses, with the sunlight filtering through their branches 250 feet above, one hears no sound save the tremendous diapason of the silence of the ages. Here, more forcibly than elsewhere in the universe, is one reminded of the littleness of man and the glory of his Creator. In sizes ranging from 5 to 20 feet in diameter, the brown trunks rise perpendicularly to a height of from 90 to 150 feet before putting forth a single limb, which frequently is more massive than the growth which men call a tree in the forests of Michigan. Scattered between the giants, like subjects around their king, one finds noble